I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good Friday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny on January 9th, 2026. It's a football Friday, and for one last Friday, it is a field trip day on 106.7 The Fan. For the last time this football season, we are out and about. We are hanging out at Pupatella Pizza in Chantilly. We are right off of Route 50. This place spoils us rotten and will spoil you as well. Come on out, get your pizza, get your appies, have your fun, listen to some football banter, kick it with us and say hello. It's a field trip Friday in Chantilly.
It's only 2.02 p.m. 2.02, just like the area code. DC, what up? And I'm already full. That will not stop me today. I'm at Pupatella, damn it. I'm here to eat so much that it's uncomfortable. I love it here. I've had so many appies already. I've had so many Italian meats. I've had so much mozzarella that was fried inside of breading. I adore Pupatella right here in Chantilly. These guys are the best.
I also think Zach prides himself on our discomfort when we leave.
Yeah.
Like, he knows when we're comfortable and when we've had enough, and he's like, oh, you have? Three more pizzas coming to your table.
It's like, here's your gelato flight, fatty. Like, he looks him in the eye, too. He knows.
And you're probably thinking, like, well, you guys are adult, grown male human beings. You would just say no at that point.
That's adorable.
And that's a hilarious thought.
That's so funny.
Wow, you're precious and fun when you think that way. And he knows this about us.
He knows.
He knows we can't say no.
He knows. He's like, these two pudgy sheep that come in here and eat their body weight in carbs.
There have been people that have told us at these Pupatella experiences that sit and hang out for a while that they've never seen anyone eat more in one several-hour span than Danny eats at Pupatella.
Yeah.
And I can't disagree with that.
I mean, it's just because the food is there. If someone's nice enough to bring it to me, what's my obligation? To eat it. It's the least I can do, right?
It's like Thanksgiving. If Thanksgiving was a celebratory day of Neapolitan pizza and fried doughy appetizers, you know?
Yes. It's just like that.
And there's also football, just like Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
We've got Oregon and Indiana in the college football playoff semifinal, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl tonight. Indiana, according to the ESPN analytics, with just under a 70% chance to win this game.
Can I say something about that super quick? That seems high to me.
It does. Oregon's phenomenal. Dan Lanning's as good a coach as there is in college football, but they're going up against Indiana. A little bit of a buzzsaw right now. And Kurt Cignetti, just Google him, that guy wins. I've been talking to some people out here today. I can't find anyone who's not rooting for Indiana to win the whole darn thing. And how could you not?
Yeah.
They have gone from this also-ran, nothing-burger college football program that was a basketball school that kind of had a football team too, sometimes, to the power in America as the number one seed.
Without a single five-star.
They beat Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. They dominated a round ago against Alabama, another of the elite-level blue-blood programs over the years, and now you get Oregon. I mean, this is a murderer's row of sorts since their conference championship game. But with Cignetti and this nerdy, well-to-do, beaver-cleaver quarterback, Fernando Mendoza, this yes-sir, no-sir, I can't wait to get back to class after this game's over.
So I just have to tell you, I'm tremendously excited. Like, that's how he is for real.
That's his real-life personality.
Not a caricature.
And I'm not joning. I love this kid.
I love it.
He might go number one overall in the NFL draft.
And so with all due respect to Oregon, and I've said this all year, not like I'm an expert analyst in this subject, Oregon's nasty. They are really good, and they're capable of winning the whole thing. I said that when they went up against Penn State, won on the road before Penn State season came crashing down. But that Oregon team is really impressive. They lost once already, 30-20 to this Indiana team that we're talking about. They were in the game, though. It was kind of a punch-counter-punch thing that just didn't quite have enough. I'm not counting them out tonight by any stretch. But three of the four final teams had an amazing story of some kind. Indiana's the sports story. It's a Disney movie. It seems fake. One of the worst football programs in America. That's not hyperbolic. Historically, Indiana, a joke, a scheduled win. For them, a success was, well, we beat Ball State and we held Rutgers to 30. Yay us,
yeah,
four wins,
Indiana's
and that's
on
it.
The schedule. You run up the score a little bit.
Yeah.
Schedule them on homecoming.
Worse than Purdue, worse than a lot of the teams in that region. They were a joke in the Big Ten. Now, they're beating the who's who of college football. They're beating the royalty. It's incredible. And should be talked about all the time. Miami, let us not forget, whether you say they could have easily not been in the damn tournament altogether. And here they are walking into the finals, basically a home game for them in the national championship. And Ole Miss, what's a better story than Ole Miss? With their coach bailing on them for a more high-profile job, half the coaches weren't allowed to prepare, and here they are going nip and tuck with a Division III quarterback that found his way to the highest levels of the country, playing in the SEC. They were a couple plays away last night from going to the national championship game in their own right. All great stories. The only story that's not great is Oregon. They're just a regular, really good football team right. With a good football coach, and they're trying their best too, but it's an amazing narrative Final Four.
Perennial top five program with one of the best coaches in America.
Yeah, they're really good.
They're supposed to be here. They're the one non-Cinderella of sorts. So for that reason, they're not going to have a whole lot of non-Oregon backers that are just jumping in on the bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you this, if they're going head-to-head with Miami, in Miami, where the Canes will be playing in their home stadium in the national championship game at Hard Rock, in Florida, I'm going to be rooting for Oregon. I've always liked Dan Lanning. They've never finished what they've started. They've never crossed the finish line. Miami is more of an underdog. They barely got into the playoff. There's a lot to like about them. But Michael Irvin's pretty annoying to me.
Yeah.
And there's no one that's that annoying in the Oregon. It's not like Joey Harrington's running around whipping his belt against Gatorade coolers and ripping off his shirt.
Is LaMichael James doing push-ups for every touchdown? Come on.
I have not seen Marcus Mariota like stripping naked and yelling at everyone on some Pat McAfee also cast. So I'll just root for Oregon if it's Oregon versus Miami.
Tip of the cap quality bit there. I can't believe the same team I saw not have an answer for SMU like a few weeks ago. I can't believe that team is about to play for the national championship. They earned it. Credit to them. Tip of the cap. They struggled down the stretch. Again, lost to a garbage Louisville team, with all due respect to Louisville fans out there. They lost to SMU and were just okay towards the end of the year in the ACC, and they're playing for the Natty. I love sports.
And
I love
earned
it.
Every bit of it.
And earned it, 100%. That's not to discredit them.
Yeah, they
amazing.
Had to beat two really good teams in the college football playoff. On their way, including Ole Miss. That game last night was great, by the way.
Wasn't it?
This kid, Trinidad Chambliss, the quarterback for Ole Miss, he is an electrifying talent. Why he wasn't higher considered in draft conversations, I don't understand. I guess the logic is that it was never expected that he was going to go pro. I don't know why that is either. He was trying to get like a sixth year of eligibility in college or something. Mm-hmm. It's a weak quarterback class. Who is advising this person? He should have been in the draft conversation a month ago. I mean, I don't get that. He throws for 277 last night, had a pretty back-breaking run toward the end of the game for a first down for 19 yards as well. But he's got a nice skill set. But Ole Miss ends up losing 31-27. It was back and forth at the end. To Miami, you tip your cap. I've never loved Carson Beck. I don't know what it is about him that turns me off a little bit. But he is a great college quarterback. And he showed it again last night.
Yeah.
Very accurate, big-time throws. Their thumper physical running back, this Brian Robinson-like dude named Mark Fletcher, who wears number 4.
Good luck.
Pile pusher.
Good luck.
22 for a $1.30 last night. The freshman that they've got, I didn't really know this guy that well until I watched him play Virginia Tech. Malachi Toney, who wears number 10. Electric is not a good enough adjective. He is
nuclear.
A completely unique special player, like just – put him in the NFL now. I know he was supposed to be a high school senior this year. I don't care. He is a water bug who can't be touched in a phone booth. He had 81 receiving yards and a touchdown last night. I love his game. But Miami, man, physical defensively. Reuben Bain, who's a top 10 projected pick that some people want Washington to take. That's not my pick. I think he's going to end up being an NFL defensive tackle. I don't even really see him as an edge. But he was pretty quiet last night, I thought.
I thought so, too. Now, which was telling, by the way, because that to me was a great showcase, right? If you can affect that game, listen, I know we'll look at sack totals and go in or out based on that, but that's one of those environments where are you disrupting play after play after play? Are you bothering the opponent? And it felt like I had to keep checking. Is he on the field? Is he not, right?
And it's hard because I think they quick-gamed him a little bit. They doubled him some. They chipped him. They did a bunch of things. But even in the games where he's been awesome, like he had a three-sack game. I want to say maybe it was against A&M, if I remember. In that game, when you go back, it felt a little bit like the Johnny Newton four-sack game against Dallas, which is not to take away from either one of those guys. They made plays. But it wasn't like,
instant disruption, leaves a defender, offensive player in his wake.
It's not like he put a move on a guy and is like diversifying the portfolio with a swim and a rip. And it was like he was in the right spot at the right time and had a good game and played relentlessly and was very, very solid. I like the player. I think he's going to be a good player.
Like at 7, no. At trade back at 16?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
That's kind of the range. And I'll say it a different way. I'd rather have Arvel Reese from Ohio State. I'd rather have Caleb Downs from Ohio State. I would rather have Sonny Styles if I was to move back from Ohio State. Not all Ohio State guys. I would rather
any other Ohio State players you like? I like Carnell Tate also. Give me David Bailey.
I mean,
Texas Tech first.
David Bailey is my favorite of all those guys right now that I would take in the top 10. But, like, yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at. The other hot take I have on Reuben Bain, and maybe this will end up aging like milk, Akeem Mesidor, the other defensive lineman on that team who wears number 3, he's like the other edge. I actually like him more. And I would rather move back and get him at like 19. Or I don't know where he's going to go. He might go higher than that now.
Yeah.
But those two guys combined for 27 pressures in the games before yesterday. Like the last 2 weeks, I think it was. And then they were kind of non-existent. But that Mesidor guy is really underrated to me. I think he's actually excellent.
That might be one of those steals. Because the other guy gets the headline. He might be one of those steals. I mean, I can't remember the years exactly. But you think of the Texas A&M defensive ends, where Shamar Stewart had like 2 sacks, numbers approximate, as like a junior or senior, still a first-round pick of the Bengals. Remember years ago, there were 4 guys off the defensive front from NC State drafted, and it was one of those,
that's right.
I know these other guys got the numbers, but this one guy's going to be a star. So someone might end up being wrong there. But yeah, I haven't done a deep dive on the second Miami defensive end. Is it Mesidor? Is
Mesidor.
The name? I remember seeing him a couple different times, but it never jumped out at me because I was always so focused on – because I'm basically making my or kind of cross-referencing it with, here's the big board of all the different people that do it, and now I'm looking for that guy in the field, and he wasn't listed anywhere near as high, but he may be one of those fast risers.
Grant and Danny live from Pupitella Pizza in Chantilly right off Route 50. We'll be here all day long until 6:30 on The Fan. I got to give college football credit, though. I have been very quick to be upset and frustrated by the landscape, and I find a lot of it to be a turnoff right now.
I agree.
But damn if these games aren't good.
That's how they get you. That's how they win.
It is really easy to bash college football. There were a couple of guys sitting down when I got into the restaurant today. It was funny. They didn't even know we were broadcasting from here, but I guess they're listeners. And the guy said, man, you really practice what you preach. You're eating at Pupitella. You guys are always – I said, well, we got a show here today. But they were just having the conversation apparently when I sat down about how much they dislike the current landscape of college sports, the free agency element, this idea that when players stay, they're re-signing because they're basically just getting more money to stay now.
Yep.
And I agreed with them. I said, yeah, it's not great, Bob. However, these games have been really good.
That's the drug. That's how they get away with it.
Really, I'm not turning off the TV last night, I'll tell you that.
Agreed.
I'm not going to bed as Miami and Ole Miss are exchanging blows in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, I mean, this is how they get you. Same way with the NFL. They can have whatever kind of cockamamie policy or rule or something that annoys you. But, again, the games are the drug. And the college football in general gets away with it for 2 reasons. One, again, as you said, the high-level games, when it's good, my God, is it perfect. And you're sort of chasing that forever. But, two, these old-school, tradition-based fan bases that are built in with alumni, regions, everybody kind of being on board for it sort of gives them a built-in, wide berth to make stupid decisions, to have stuff that is eye-rolling to those of us that follow it, where just kind of everything you said, everything from the transfer portal to a coach just goes, yeah, I'll leave my team in the playoffs because I got to start work at the next place that's already paying me. And that's kind of the normal calendar. And there's no rules. There's no governance. There's no CBA. It's just the Wild West. And all that stuff stinks. And yet, I got last night. I got Ole Miss, who probably shouldn't be here. I got Miami, who probably shouldn't be here. Sports, dude. You wanted it to reflect to a degree the basketball tournament, which I love so much. It's as perfect a sporting event as we have. Well, there it is, right? An ACC team that from a terrible conference that may or may not have belonged. Ole Miss was what, at best, the fourth best team in the SEC this year? Wire to wire, maybe third, depends. And here they are contending for the national championship. Awesome.
One more thing on last night, and if you're not into college football that much, Don't worry, we're getting to the NFL here in a second. This is more of a broad football conversation thing that I'm about to bring up and less about the Final Four in the college football playoffs. But I can't tell you how annoyed I get at the end of games when a throw into the end zone results in the clearest pass interference penalty ever, and it's never called because it's the end of a game. So twofold on this. Number one, I need the officiating of games. While it shouldn't be the exact same on the fourth play of the game as like the last play, I do need you to not just completely throw your whistle to the sideline before the last play. That's number one. And number two, why don't you just tackle a guy in that situation? Has it ever been called one time at the end of a game on a Hail Mary, or in this case, it's like half Mary, because it's not from midfield. It's
from like the 33,
the 30-yard line. It's just a line drive into the end zone. I thought a little bit too flat. Probably need a little bit more air anyway, but it was a very catchable pass back in the end zone. But if you watch the play, Ole Miss is chucking it into the end zone, and the Miami defensive back is pulling the Ole Miss receiver to the ground.
It assault.
Is the
yep.
clearest PI on any other play. If that happens in the third quarter, the early fourth quarter, the first quarter, the second quarter, it's a 15-yard penalty every single time because it's not a spot foul in college, and we're just doing it again. But at the end of the game, you basically get to do whatever you want.
Right.
I just think that has always driven me crazy. And I don't know what the right answer is because you can't bail teams out constantly by calling PIs. And I do think if your normal threshold, let's say, is contact, that's a 7 out of 10 to call a PI, then it probably should be turned up to like an 8 or a 9. But I need,
and that certainly met that.
Yeah, I need what happened last night to not just be, last play of the game, man. No. That's a pass interference penalty, and the game had no chance of being won based on how the DB was defending that receiver.
Totally with you. So here's my rebuttal to your content. I didn't have a good setup phrase there.
You could have just made your point.
I could have just started talking.
But yeah, that's good. I'm glad you clarified.
Yeah, it's a good thing I do this for a job. In college, I want that more aggressively called because it's 15 yards. In the NFL, it's first and goal at the one. Because it's so punitive in the NFL, I'm okay with a lot more leeway.
Oh, even, that's actually a great point.
Even still, I want it called at least some point.
Because
like,
you're saying
the mauling that takes place on a Hail Mary is ridiculous, and it shouldn't be allowed.
But in the NFL, it's first and goal from the one. You've basically given a team a game.
And there it is. And I don't want that. On a Hail Mary, the whole point is it's a low-chance opportunity, right? In college, for 15 yards, yeah, I can deal with that. And you make them do it again. It's still a lower percentage play.
Didn't you – I mean, am I wrong? Was that not pass interference?
Oh, it was so – and the poor kid sitting on the ground with his hands up going, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Because he didn't go to the ground by himself.
It also just has – like when it's the last play of this epic. I mean, it's been such a good game. It just – I know if you're a Miami fan, you're like, we're good. Everyone just run and –
run off the field. Let's celebrate.
Let's listen to Michael Irvin make it all about himself for a few days. But if you're the rest of us, you're going, that was such a good, fun game. And it just feels a little hollow when we all see the thing and it's the Leo DiCaprio meme. We're all just pointing going, like, what? No, that's a penalty. That's a penalty. Let's call that. And they just, no interest.
No interest at all. None.
All right, I want to get into Commanders OC coaching search. Here's why. I think that we are getting so excited about Mike McDaniel. We're all assuming that's going to happen that we're taking our eyes off what is actually more likely. I think it's more likely that David Blau ends up being the coordinator here, not Mike McDaniel. And I want to talk about that when we return next. Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Back live in Chantilly, right off Route 50. We're in the Chantilly Plaza. We're at Pupatella Pizza. Neapolitan, delicious, incredible pizza. Come have lunch and eventually dinner with us. We're going to be out here until 6:30 this evening.
The beauty of what we do is we do both here. We do lunch and dinner.
Little day-night doubleheader for your boys?
Yeah, little twi-night piece. Split doubleheader. One ticket does not cover admission for us.
Right.
We put on multiple meals. We basically do three meals in two.
Yeah, is there any way we could get here earlier for like a meeting of some type and do breakfast? I bet you they could do a really good breakfast pizza.
Yeah, it's just like the pizza. It's like if it's your first meal, it's breakfast.
I do actually love cold pizza.
Like the show? You like the TV show, Cold Pizza?
Not as much the television show, right. Now defunct from ESPN.
Okay.
But I think I recall this correctly that you don't, and you kind of give me a hard time for that.
No, I don't bust jobs for that one. It's not my favorite. It's not like I haven't done it. I mean,
so like
who are we
when
talking
we have
about?
Leftover pizza in the fridge.
Yeah.
My wife and I disagree on this. She always gets annoyed. Her thing is she'll pull out the pizza, she'll put it in the air fryer, she'll crisp it back up nice and warm, and it's like the first time you've ever eaten it. I have never and will never heat up the pizza. I will always eat the pizza cold out of the refrigerator. To me, another one like this is like fried chicken. I really don't mind cold fried chicken. If the first time you eat it, hot, crispy, delicious, perfect, whatever,
sure,
throw it in the fridge. I'm never crisping it back up necessarily. So with pizza, leftover pizza is always going to be cold, and I'm happy with that.
I that's a preference thing. It doesn't bother me. I don't do that. I use the toaster oven. I get a little like a little sheet underneath it, or like an aluminum foil situation.
A Ben or a Gavin?
Oh, like a Gavin sheets.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want a Ben sheets. Like, it was good for a little while, then all of a sudden went away. Like, where did Ben sheets go?
Well, what you hibernate on before his arm blew out is how dominant he was with the Milwaukee Brewers.
He was filthy. But you sleep on Larry sheets, an all-or-nothing home run or punch-out for the Orioles back in the 80s.
Very much so.
Point of the dude's story is, and I need to heat it up evenly. I don't want to dry it out, though. So I'm not toasting it in the toaster oven. I'm using the oven function to get it nice and hot. I get that crisp back. But I still keep some of the chewiness. Yeah.
I just find it hard to.
You got no patience for it.
There's parts of it that are cold, parts of it that are cool.
Oh, I can't have
that.
Parts
of it that are warm. It's very hard to do it correctly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I want to get into the Commanders OC search and an observation that I've made here. So yesterday we talked a lot about Mike McDaniel. I still believe Mike McDaniel would be the home run hire, okay? If I am putting together a list of candidates in the order of how badly I would want them to be the OC in Washington, Mike McDaniel would be at the very top of my list.
Okay.
Please understand this. Please hear me. I don't think right now I would bet on Mike McDaniel becoming their offensive coordinator. I tried to make this case yesterday as best I could, both on the fact that I think there's a good chance he gets a head coaching job, but I'm also not 100% in my conviction that this is the best offensive coordinator job. I think it's a really good one because you have Jaden Daniels, and I think in the case of Mike McDaniel, it's even more sellable and good because his best buddy, Dan Quinn, is the head coach here. So there are connections. It makes a lot of sense, and if they hire him, I will not be shocked. I think it's very high on his list. But if I had to bet right now on who became their OC, he would be second on my list. David Blau, internally, would still be number one. I think he's being slept on a little bit in terms of how serious an option he actually is. I wanted to make the case and lay this out as to why I feel this way. This is based on speculation, but I would say informed speculation, conversations I'm having, things I'm hearing. But I want to get your reaction to that first. This idea, it just seems like everyone's talking themselves into, McDaniel's not available. We got to find someone else. McDaniel's available. It's happening. He's the OC. And it's just like written in pen now that he's coming here. I think everyone needs to hold their horses a little bit.
So let me rephrase it this way.
You need is them to get on a plane and go get him.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's my answer. And I think that's what a lot of fans would want. If the reason he doesn't come here is because he doesn't come here. If he chooses a better situation, I'm just, for him, he prefers Detroit. He prefers Baltimore with the new head coach, whoever it is.
To today?
No.
Tampa Bay.
Maybe first Tampa.
Todd Bowles as head coach.
There
him working with Baker Mayfield. To me, that would be super weird. I don't know why that would be a better job than Washington, but they do have some good weapons at receiver. But
easy to win division. If you're just mildly competent, you get double-digit wins, and everyone thinks you're good. You know, obviously, Mike Evans is ageless, but you know, Godwin, Egbuka, a pretty good set of running backs. Kate Otten's pretty legit at tight end.
McMillan's pretty good.
Yeah, McMillan. Yeah, there you go. It's a pretty ready-made turnkey operation where you could be pretty good. Just hit the ground running.
They definitely have better weapons than Washington. There's no doubt.
Yeah, so not much work is needed there. So, but I guess the point is, if you lose the bidding and you end up with David Blau, okay, that happens. That's sports.
Okay,
that's
so life. How they get there matters to you.
Yeah, I think a fan would look at it and go, damn, I wish it was us. I wish they'd push harder. But I don't know if you can blame somebody, blame an organization, if someone doesn't choose you, right?
Right.
If it's a, you guys, we got him, David Blau. And I'm going, could you have had the super genius? You know what I mean? Where it's like you know the guy that you're elevating before anybody else does. Now, David Blau might be great, and I've before Mike McDaniel was even a gleam in my eye, that hiring made sense to me. I think that's a smart, reasonable, sort of helpful transition to Jaden Daniels. You're kind of blending the best of his familiarity with Kingsbury and sort of that staff with a slightly different offense, you would think. You know, I don't know what David Blau's offense is because he's never called one before.
Well, he doesn't have one yet.
He doesn't have one yet.
He would
have
to make it up. Yeah. But what I like is he would be combining Ben Johnson stuff that he ran in Detroit with Shanahan stuff that he's been a part of.
You would think so.
With, and this might be really important to them, some Kingsbury stuff that Jaden Daniels has run to help smooth that transition. So you could have this hybrid of all three kind of being melded together. But let me make the case here for why I'm not convinced, but I just think it needs to continue to be a topic of conversation. So first things first, and this is the part, I guess, that you could be okay with.
Mm-hmm.
Mike McDaniel is up for head coaching jobs and will be interviewing. If you are going to try to get McDaniel as an OC, you are going to play a waiting game here.
Yep.
I'm talking weeks, not days, okay? Now, maybe it's only 2 weeks and it's like 12 days or something, but it also could be 26 days. Are you willing to wait this out? I still think there's going to be more openings, or maybe one or whatever, but if Buffalo gets blown out this weekend, if Green Bay loses this weekend, I don't know that they're going to fire LaFleur. They certainly shouldn't, but there's some speculation they might. If Pittsburgh loses, you know, would the Steelers come calling to Mike McDaniel? Like, there could still be more jobs, and this whole thing starts. We've already known that John Harbaugh is not even beginning his interview process till next week. So teams are still just lining up who they're going to interview. So Mike McDaniel, as a head coaching candidate, if he wants to be a head coach, which we don't know, but I think he probably is going to at least do some due diligence and some interviewing, that could be weeks. There is then this possibility that you put all your eggs in that basket and go, Mike McDaniel's our guy, we'll wait till he doesn't get a job and we'll hire him. In the meantime, David Blau goes to Detroit. A couple of the other guys you like, Todd Monken or whoever, get other jobs.
Yep.
And this becomes Eric Bieniemy all over again, where you're the last team to hire your OC, and you're left holding the bag. That is a big risk that I don't know that I am willing to take on. Okay, so that's the first thing. Do you want to slow your process down? Does he even come here if he has the choices of head coach or other OC jobs? So that part I think you're on board with and understanding.
Yes.
Then there is more the why they might, I'm not going to say prefer, but why they might side with Blau over playing the McDaniel waiting game. I cannot shake how many times Dan Quinn in the last 2 years has talked about the layering of this offensive staff as a succession plan. How many times do you think we've heard him talk about that? Like 30?
It feels like, not during the weeklies when it's like this guy's injured, we're talking about return to play, we don't miss our mark, but anytime he's not talking about basically Terry McLaurin or somebody that's injured rehabbing, it's that.
Dude, it's the thing I learned that made me a better coach.
Yeah.
It's the reason this one's going to work and last one didn't. He has referenced, maybe not in specifics, but the time in Atlanta when he felt like he made this huge mistake, when Kyle Shanahan left and he didn't have a plan, and all those guys went with Kyle, and he went outside the building to Steve Sarkisian, who was like considered this pretty safe hire, and it didn't work, and he ended up having to blow him out. Well, he chose him over this young guy who he thought was a little too green, and he didn't want to roll the dice on, giving his first job, named Matt LaFleur. And so LaFleur follows Kyle and now is one of the more successful head coaches in the NFC over the last several years. This would feel like that all over again, and I can't shake the possibility, after all the times he's talked about, succession plan, grooming our own guys, developing these young dudes in the building. It would feel like that again. Now, I happen to think McDaniel is not Sark. Here's another problem. McDaniel would be a home run hire. Let's all agree to that.
Yep.
Mike McDaniel, OC, excellent. Everyone's excited. Let's high five and throw a party at Pupatella Pizza. He would be here for 1 year. There is not really a world, if it goes well, where he is here for more than one season. Blau, I think they feel like, would be a multi-year solution. He was an assistant quarterbacks coach this year.
Yep.
He's not going to get a head coaching job next year, even if you have a really good year. See Washington in 2024, which is hard to replicate in 26. But even that year didn't get Cliff Kingsbury to the front of every list. He could have taken a New Orleans job.
He could have taken the worst job there.
But it wasn't like he's definitely going to have a job.
Right.
And that guy had been a head coach before.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So Blau, it's a multi-year, maybe even three, but certainly 2 years of him running your offense. If you go with McDaniel, you're signing up, ideally, if it goes well, for Jaden learning two offenses in 2 years, three offenses in 4 years, and I think they like the idea of that continuity. And then here's the last thing I'll say. I also think there is frustration from Daniels and his camp over the Cliff decision. And, maybe a better way to put it, more team-friendly way to put it, less that you're appeasing Daniels with Blau, but there is a reason to want him to feel comfortable running some of the things he's run, giving him some of the offense he had in this transition, and then building other new wrinkles into it than just doing a completely different thing. So this is a way that they go, Jaden, I know you wanted Cliff. Your boy's with Blau. You're close with Blau. You're going to run some Cliff stuff. We're also going to take the stuff from Cliff we didn't like that much out, and Blau's going to put better stuff that we like more in. So there is this, like, meeting in the middle while Daniels has one of his guys, and you don't have to worry about that relationship with the next OC. So these are the reasons that I think you should not be counting out David Blau and why I think they are actually very high on the idea that he could be their offensive coordinator.
So the requisite, of course, is that he can do it, is that he's as smart as everybody says, and the rep isn't just because he, I don't know, was a cool guy in Detroit that time, and he actually is a future OC. Not just because they're the only ones willing to give him an opportunity. See Scott Turner, see Eric Bieniemy, whom you mentioned, right? I need it to be because that guy is a rock star, and you're getting him a year early instead of a year late. A la, think about Sean McVay walking out of the building. Think about McDaniel walking out of the building, LaFleur walking out of the building, all these other guys that went on to be really good coaches that were just sort of here under your employ, and you had no idea that you in what you had. If you really do have something special and you're promoting a guy a year early, I'm all in favor of that. Seriously, I am. If it's just because, well, Jaden's a little pissed off and he can't, and again, I have no idea
right.
whether Blau,
no, I get what you're saying.
We've never seen his offense. Can't have one yet. And if Blau really
he's,
can't do it.
By the way, reiterate that for people. He's never called plays. He's never been a coordinator. He's never even been a quarterback's coach for more than a month. This would be a ballsy decision by Dan Quinn
yeah.
if McDaniel would be willing to come here.
Like, what is your terminology? He doesn't know yet because he's never done it. He doesn't have one yet. And that's okay. He might cook up the greatest one.
He may boom or bust.
He may, Ted Lasso did when he got on whatever the mind-altering drug was when he visited Amsterdam and came up with Total Football. He might do that. I have no idea. But the point is, we've got no precedent here. Thank you very much.
Wasn't that at like a sports bar?
Yeah, he's like, I got an idea. Oh, no, let me eat some wings here. Oh, that's good sauce. And next thing you know, it comes up with Dirk Kuyt's Total Football.
Right.
The point of the dude's story is, we have no idea what it's going to look like or how. I bet you he's a great offensive mind. I bet you he's really good at relating to Jaden or young players because he's one of them. He's 30 years old.
He played quarterback in the NFL 2 years ago.
2 years ago. So that's kind of the new trend line, right? Think of former players in all the sports just sort of walking into the coaching
roles.
Like
Davis Webb is getting head coach interviews.
Yeah, a bunch of dudes. And I feel like he started a playoff game for the Texans an hour and a half ago. But there we are. So it is a risk, but it's also a – if it can be sold and explained the way that you just did without – I don't think Adam Peters is going to stand up there and go, listen, if we had this one guy, he'd be out of here in a year. But you got to find a way to let everybody know that that's sort of the case. That would make a lot of sense to me, I think. But it just how it happens, I think, matters.
I'm hoping for McDaniel, but I would also feel when they announced Mike McDaniel that this is a one-year rental, whereas Blau is more of a multi-year purchase.
Mm.
And I think that they might like that idea. I also would wonder, but I bet that this is not why they should make this decision. I don't think it is why they would make the decision. But for what it's worth, I think Jaden Daniels would back Blau, which I'm interested in. How important is that to Dan Quinn right now as well? But I want to ask people this, because we talked about Blau a few days ago. Since then, McDaniel became available. I feel like yesterday we all threw a party and kind of got ready to welcome him to Ashburn.
Yep.
If they choose Blau before McDaniel has a job, if they move quickly, pretty imminently, keep him from interviewing in Detroit, next 72 hours, early next week sometime, they're announcing David Blau as their OC, they keep it in-house. And McDaniel has still not chosen anything, maybe eventually takes an OC job somewhere. Would you be annoyed by that? In other words, not what you're saying, where he gets the head coaching job in Baltimore, but rather, it seems like they're choosing Blau. Could you get down with that? Or do you think that would be a big miss on not swinging for the fences for a year of Mike McDaniel? 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in. We're at Pupatella Pizza in Chantilly today. You're listening to G&D on the Fan.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back live at Pupatella Pizza in Chantilly. What's up? Grant and Danny on the Fan, taking you up to 6:30 this evening. Toby Altizer, who's out here with us, has overtime tonight. I believe we're going to carry the Trae Young press conference. The Wizards have announced they'll be introducing him at 6 p.m. this evening. So if you want to hear that, make sure you're locked into the Fan, because we'll have that press conference for you right here on Grant and Danny at 6. The Wizards adding a four-time All-Star who wanted to come to D.C., which is not a very common thing around these parts.
The second highest assist rate in NBA history, behind some dude named John Stockton. That matters. He's a point guard.
It's wild.
He's a point guard, which means he's going to set guys up for buckets. Now, does he dominate the basketball? Yes. Does he dribble it maybe too much at times? Yes. Are you forced to sort of play a certain way because he's on the court? Yeah, but guys are going to get looks.
I feel like I'm in the minority in my lack of overall excitement about a long-term Trae Young point guard situation. But
given the history, that's reasonable, by the way.
Yeah.
Given how we got here.
I assumed, and still kind of hope, you shut him down for much of this year, doesn't cost you the top 8 pick. I refuse to believe that this very smart front office will lose that pick in this elite draft. So I'm just not even going to consider that. So they'll do whatever they have to do to get a top 8 pick. And hopefully it's the top half of the top 8, by the way.
Yep.
Next year, he opts in. He makes $49 million. He's going to be here. Fine. No harm, no foul. I have just assumed all along that at the end of next year, he's out, and now I have $50 million to spend on a superstar winning player. If they're locking in Trae Young for the long haul, like Bobby Marks told us, both of our guests yesterday actually told us they think is going to happen, then I like what happened yesterday a lot less. But I'm going to get that answer, I think, or start to get some tea leaves to read today when they introduce him at this presser and we hear from Will Dawkins. So make sure you're locked in at 6 o'clock. Get a little information on how they're viewing this.
Here. Yeah, it's going to be interesting because you're right. The baseline to operate here is you can't lose not only the top 8 pick, but frankly, a top 4 pick.
But don't you agree with me that there's a 0% chance? Like, I am such a big fan of what Winger and Dawkins have done, and I'm not one of these guys that wants to go full, like, Bayless Stephen A. Smith and say something stupid that, you know, Lou makes a headline about. But, like, if you lose the top eight pick, that is fireable. That is an outrageous, ridiculous, egregious thing to have happen at this point of your build. It is so unacceptable that I'm not even willing to allow the possibility to enter my head that they would be okay.
They know.
And they're so much smarter than me. There's just no way that they'd be like, huh, top eight, whatever,
yeah,
man.
Previous regimes wouldn't think about that things
oh,
that
I'm
way.
I'm quite sure
under,
they would.
You know, it was Ted's directive, and they were executing against it, which was play in tournament. We want to make sure we're in the playoffs. That's what matters. Tommy Shepard told us that out loud for a team that was, you know, going to win 32 or 33 games. That's a waste of everyone's time.
Toby just tweeted from the 106.7 The Fan account that Grant said it's fireable. Toby, how dare you do that? Throw me under the bus.
The hell, Tobes.
That was very quick, though.
Speaking of Twitter.
We have a staff that works very quick.
Oh, they're on top of it. Speaking of Twitter, at FunnyDanny, at Grant H. Paulson, on our David Blau topic, a couple actually quality tweets are coming in. On this one, DQ says, or excuse me, KB says, DQ.
Dan Quinn tweeted you?
Yeah, isn't that funny?
What's his burger?
I don't want to miss the mark. Yeah. Return to
how
play.
How did you know it was him? He said something about in that space.
In that space. Right. KB said, DQ acts like he has 2+ years to let Blau develop. And then he goes on, but he doesn't.
That's a great point.
That is a thing. That is a sharp point because doesn't go well now, now what are we talking about?
If Blau is a multi-year solution, that's great. You might not have multiple years if he's not hitting the ground sprinting next year, which is why the 1 year of McDaniel still might be the better solution. I think it's worse for Daniel's development and long-term and learning another offense in a year. But if you're Dan Quinn, are you thinking about yourself or are you thinking about the bigger picture?
That is the question.
It's actually a really, really good question. I want to hit the phones on this next, though. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067 is the number. We'll also get into our first look at the playoff matchups in the NFL this weekend, next segment as well. But could you be cool with them choosing Blau, with McDaniel out there and available? We'll get to that next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.